If you will, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. I'll be reading from verses 36 to 43. Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 43. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. And this woman was full of good works and acts of charity, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they washed her, they laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much in Lydda was near to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose, and he went with them. And when he was come, they brought him to the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out, and he kneeled down and he prayed. And turning him to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Anyone ever give you a nickname? Generally, those names are based upon some occasion that people remember or some aspect of your life. Some of them are just silly. My mom would call me Denny. My dad never did, but my mom always did. And I didn't care for it much, but I didn't complain because she was my mom. Others would be more hurtful by making fun of my last name. They would call me Strino. And there were some other names that I could say that you would just, never mind. Navy pilots all had nicknames. Based on the actions that one would see from them. Some would wear these nicknames as badges of honor by placing them on their helmets. And others at times would be offended. Nicknames can stick with you for a lifetime. Sometimes people know you not so much by your nickname as by your character. For example, Joseph of Cyprus was called Barnabas. And while that might qualify as a nickname, it really was a reflection of his reputation. Barnabas was a man who spoke well of others spiritually. He lifted people up. That was his reputation. So what is your reputation? How would people describe you? We would hope that we are described more for our character than we are for some nickname from high school. There is another that doesn't get a whole lot of press. And it isn't so much that she has a nickname, but that she has a reputation. It is her story that we will examine tonight, because she teaches a lesson that Jesus taught during his ministry. The lesson is simply this: if you love others with the love of the Lord, you will bring sinners to the Lord. In the passages that we just read, we meet a woman that has two names in there. Tabitha is her Aramaic name. Dorcas is the name in the Greek language. But both of those names mean gazelle. A gazelle is an animal that's known for its beauty, its stunning eyes, and its swift feet. But what made this woman beautiful is the point of this lesson tonight. Her story takes place in the town of Joppa. And for those of you who read your Bibles regularly, Joppa has significance. For it is in Joppa that Jonah ran to catch a ship to flee from God when God wanted him to preach to the Gentiles in Nineveh. It is also here in Joppa, after this miracle that took place by Peter in Acts chapter 10, that we find Peter staying in a house when God gives him the vision concerning the unclean animals. And the Gentile men knocked on that door, asking Peter to come and to teach the Gentile centurion named Cornelius. So for us, Joppa was a great place for having the saving message of God to be sent forth to the Gentile world. But the city is not our study. It is Tabitha that we learn from today. Here in Joppa was a dear Christian woman, a woman who became sick. And I'm sure that later on in the story, when we see the other women that are there weeping for her, even though it's not recorded, I'm sure that many Christians were there praying for her, praying that God would heal her. But with great sadness, she died. The lesson is not about what Tabitha said, but what she did. Let's look again back in verse 36 of Acts chapter 9. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas, full of good works and acts of charity. Now there are those out there that say that she was a widow. We don't know. That part of Scripture has been left out. But what we do know is that she was loved. And the Bible tells us to live like Tabitha. In the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul writes here, "So then, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are the household of faith." And that is a challenge that God has placed before us. You know, when we think of people who lived the life of service, I think we could probably all come to a consensus that one of the most famous was probably Mother Teresa. She offered during her life tender, loving care to the poor, actually the poorest of the poor. She did this all over the world. And it was independent of race, color, nationality, caste, or creed. In every human being, she saw a child of God. A child of God that was created for greater things, to love and to be loved. Respecting this innate value and dignity of each person, she endeavored to bring this love where it was lacking, offering her humble service to whoever was in need without considering their religious affiliation. Now, I disagree with her doctrinal teachings, but I admire the love that she gave to others in the name of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we are challenged to show the same kind of love that she did to the same type of people that she did, with the heart that she appeared to possess. And we see what it will do for the ministry of Christ. Tabitha was full of good works and acts of charity. Is that a gift? Yes. Is it an attribute for every Christian to possess? Absolutely. You know, what made the Good Samaritan good? It was the love and mercy and the acts of kindness that he showed to an individual who most likely would have not have shown the same kindness towards him. You know, after the end of that parable, what did Jesus say? He said, go and do likewise. What are we known as for as a congregation? What defines us as a body of believers? Many of you do acts of charity and good works individually. And I could name quite a few, even to some of the most seemingly inconsequential, but still acts of kindness. I don't like to point out Bryce and Tyler, but I remember here a couple of weeks ago when there was a dog that needed adopting, that someone wanted to help out. And fortunately for Jackie, she was able to find a home for her dog. But that act of kindness and that extending hand from two young men is remarkable, I think. I don't know what Mom and Dad really thought about it at all, but I think it was outstanding. You know, but there are others that do the cards that Vicki and I receive, the well wishes, the cards of thanks. You don't know what it does for us. But is it not there a calling for an entire congregation to have a reputation of good works and acts of charity? God wants to challenge us, not only as individuals, but as a church, to meet the needs of our community in such a way that will glorify God. You know, I think about yesterday, and Vicki was telling me about how successful the shopping trip was and how much generosity was afforded out there for some children who were in need, our children's home. These children, for one day out of the year, will know that there were folks who were really looking for, towards them and thinking about them, and trying to show just a little bit of joy and give just a little bit of joy in their lives, even if it is one day out of the year. But you see, it wasn't just the giving. It was the sacrifice of the hands who did the shopping, who served the food, who put forth the effort in getting things planned. You see, that's the outside world. It's great we do things for one another, but it also needs to be done to those on the outside in such a way as glorifying God. What we do as a church to teach our children about acts of kindness and charity? How do we as a church encourage our Christian teens to live out their faith in kindness and charity? What do we do as a church to touch the hearts of the lost around us in ways that draws them to Christ? Those questions are placed before us to call us to action, but not to make us feel guilty. You know, when Jesus saw the crowds, Jesus had compassion on them. Why? Because they were harassed. They were helpless. They were like a sheep without a shepherd. When Jesus saw the thousands who were following them and listening to them, he had compassion on them, and he told his disciples to feed these people. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 16, to let our light so shine that when people see our good works, that they will glorify our Father in heaven. And so we go back to Acts chapter 9 and verse 42. It says, "And many people believed in the Lord." Did they believe because Peter raised a woman from the dead? Yes, they did. Did they believe because of the woman who was raised from the dead? Yes, they did. Tabitha became a living testimony of Jesus Christ. You know, Saturday I was going to the dump. And I had an old storm door and a frame and stuff to haul to the dump. And because the storm door was mostly metal and a hunk of glass, I stopped at the gate to ask if I needed to dump that in their metal dumpster or just throw it in the construction pile. And the gentleman that was at the gatehouse, he had a Baltimore Oriole hat on. And so I asked him, I said, "Are you from Baltimore?" I said, "Are you an Orioles fan?" He said, "Yeah, he was from Baltimore." And come to find out, he grew up about a mile from where Vicky grew up as a child. And his father was big. I don't know if any of you ever heard of the Lexington Market in Baltimore. It's one of the largest markets in the country. And his dad worked from the 50s to the 70s shining shoes. And this young man also shines shoes. But he had a reputation as a man of tremendous kindness to everyone. Every morning he would get up before the place opened up, and he would be in a tuxedo and a hat, and he would welcome people as they came in and the shop owners. Everybody remembered him. And alas, he closed his business up in the early 70s. And here last year, the gentleman told me that the folks that ran the Lexington Market contacted him. They were doing a lot of renovation. And because of his father's acts of kindness, that they wanted to put a plaque in that marketplace so that everybody can see and remember a man who contributed not to the business, but of edifying and making people feel good. You know, we don't do things necessarily to make the world right. And we'll never be able to make the whole world right. But if we collectively and individually can make one feel right and see the glory of Christ as it lives within us, then we've done our job. Kathy Tricoli, she wrote a song that hits the meaning of this sermon. And here are some of the words that she writes in this song. It's not the whole song, and I don't have the title of the song. I just found the words of this one verse. And it says, "There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings fire, ignites a candle and makes its home. So carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the helpless, confused, and torn. Hold out your candle for all to see. Take your candle and go light the world." God put us all here for a reason. And that reason is to be able to bring others to Him. And many times that you have tried and have failed, we must never give up. Because the only time we fail is when we stop trying. So never give up on your neighbors. Never give up on your family or friends. Continue to let your light shine bright. And you will bring them eventually in. And if not, there'll be others that'll see that light and will come to it. If you are a child of God and have not been doing the things that God wants you to do, We offer you an invitation tonight to get things right with God. If you are not a child of God, you know, we pray that you'll come into this light that is burning within each of us who have obeyed the gospel, a light that gives us hope, a light that gives us an eternal home. Through repentance and confession and baptism, that light will shine with you too. It's not a decision that can be made lightly because it requires a lifetime of sacrifice. And it will not all be roses. There's going to be an awful lot of manure. An awful lot. But it will be worth it because we all know what can grow in a well-fertilized soil. If there's anyone that has a need this evening, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.